Final half hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Dave Festruck of the Toronto Star. And TSN 1050's trade deadline coverage is powered by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for top quality drywall insulation, ceiling systems, premium shingles, and siding. CertainTeed Pro all the way. And Scott Mitchell will join us here in a moment. Robbie Ray off the IR tonight. He will be back in the lineup. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. back off the COVID IR. And the Jays get rained out yesterday, Dave. And Mark Shapiro had a rare tweet. He's on Twitter. I don't know if it's him. I never know with executives. Is it him? Is it a handler that's tweeting this out? But he was pandering to the local market. And I think he's being genuine in terms of, you know, how much we take for granted. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of the Dome, I don't think it's got the character. I know it's got the history. It's just, I would prefer a new park.
Yeah, same here.
But we never have rainouts. You know, 30 years in Toronto, there's just never a rainout. If there's a scheduled home game, they're playing. And we experienced it for the first time yesterday, down in Dunedin, potentially in Buffalo, without a Dome. It's going to be a reality this year.
Yeah. You got to do the Dome, though, if they're going to rebuild, Hayes, and I think they're going to rebuild. You got to do a Dome. You got to do the Miller Park Milwaukee model, where it's a natural grass infield, a retractable roof, but it's not climate controlled. You know, it's like.
All right, so Dave's gone down. I'm solo here. I've been in the building since 7:30 this morning. Literally before we came on at 6 o'clock, I said, Mullen, call up Scotty. We'll get Al's brother in here. There he is. Al's brother immediately puts his headphones on, gets his mic ready, knows he could be up. I said, I'm starting to hit a bit of a wall, a little bit of a wall. The irony of me finally being in studio the second time in 13 months, and Festruck has technical difficulties, so we'll see if we can get him back in here. But Scott Mitchell will join us here in a moment. And again, in terms of the Dome and in terms of me actually having more of an appreciation for the roof and the fact that no games ever get rained out, I learned that lesson again yesterday. And do we have Scotty? Yeah. Or is Festruck there? Okay, Dave, you burned out on me there, buddy, but I think we got you back. And you were just making a case for engineering in the 21st century. And suggesting if we're going to build a new park up here, it's got to be like the Miller Park down in Milwaukee. And I totally agree with you. And especially if they're going to be playing games late March, which is generally the way they start now, if not early April. And if you want to build a playoff team that could be playing World Series games into late October in Toronto, you have to have that covered.
You got to have it. I don't know. When did I go out there? I don't know what you heard me say.
You were on to a pretty good rant. That. Yeah, you were. It was just your audio. I could see the viz. You were still going, but you were just saying if, you know, it's got to be engineering in the 21st century. You got to have a retractable roof. You don't want to be controlling the temperature necessarily in there, and you want to have the ability to make it feel as if it's an outdoor park unless you absolutely have to make a call on that. All right, so I don't know what's going on with Dave. Just call up Scott. Just get Scott on the phone, and I'll just do this on my own for the final 24 minutes, and we'll see what happens. Dave Festruck apparently is out, so I am solo, and that's fine because the Jays are in action tonight. We'll call up Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Al's brother is in the house. Al's brother, do you want to take this opportunity to promote your power rankings? And
yeah,
what you have planned for us, because you're coming up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, today being a trade deadline, we had to do something that was deadline related. So pretty much what the rankings are going to show us today is we're going to rank the teams based on how they did on deadline week. So it's not how the teams are. So it's not a power ranking of how good I think they are like we've done in the past. This is strictly just based on the GM's performance and how they've set their team up over the past deadline week. So,
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that is exactly what we should be doing. I mean, you and I, we had this conversation about an hour ago, but there is a lot of dispersion in terms of the Canadian GMs, and I get the impression the reaction throughout the country. And the ultimate outlier is your team, the Vancouver Canucks, who didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
And I think that was understandable based on their COVID situation.
Well, they were definitely in a weird spot, and you weren't exactly sure what you were going to get out of Vancouver. And the two moves that they did make, Jordy Benn made a lot of sense, but the one that was weird and maybe the weirdest deal of the day, to be honest with you, maybe Mantha that came out of nowhere, but moving on from Adam Gaudette, like a young piece who they thought could be kind of a solid bottom six guy for the long haul, and moving him for a guy like Matthew Highmore, it just didn't make a lot of sense. So that maybe rubs some Vancouver people the wrong way.
Yeah, my spidey senses are suggesting maybe there's something deeper to that deal.
Yeah, based on, well, I listened to Benning earlier, and he said that a change of scenery seemed a little needed. And so he was, what, patient zero for the COVID
sitch? That is what I believe the reporting has suggested. Yeah. And again, that's a little bit deep, and that's on Benning or Gaudette maybe to ultimately make that call. But I wonder if there's something there and maybe an issue within the room. Who knows? All right, Al's brother, you're back in about 10 minutes with your power rankings. You've laid those out beautifully. I think Festchuk's probably done for the half hour. But here is our TSN 1050 Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell. And, Scotty, we were just talking about Shapiro's tweet yesterday with the rain out down in Dunedin. I don't know where you stand on the Dome as a park, how you feel about it. I have never been a big fan. I'm certainly not a fan as it gets older. But I do have more of an appreciation based on what happened yesterday. On the fact that we never get a rain delay. We never get a postponement. So I guess, you know, there's a point or two for the Dome.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you go out on the road and cover baseball, and it's a completely different experience when you see the weather and reporters are wondering what's going on and, you know, are we going to play? And it's, you know, you don't even, that doesn't even come up, you know, covering this team for, you know, the majority of the season. And yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we're looking at these rain delays this weekend and kind of what's going on down in Dunedin. And that's essentially why they can't play there all year if they can't get back to Toronto. I mean, you know, the rain gets even worse there in June and July, and the heat gets, you know, pretty much unmanageable to a point. And, you know, they're going to consult with the players and, you know, figure out when they want to go to Buffalo, how much the rain and weather is really bothering them. And, you know, that's one great thing about having a complex down there for spring training. But when you got to use it for your permanent home, obviously some issues like that crop up.
So they've got Gerrit Cole again tonight. And I wouldn't say they went off against Cole, but they got the win against Cole on opening day. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Had a hit and two walks, I believe it was, got on base three times against Cole. And he's going up against Robbie Ray, who comes off the IL. He's making his debut tonight. I mean, I expect Cole to pitch as well, if not better, than he did opening day. But the offense broke out on Saturday night. So how do you tease this game, Scotty, in terms of the Jays finding a way to win it, considering who's on the mound for the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you can kind of keep it close against Gerrit Cole until the seventh or eighth inning, that's a win in my book. You know, any team that, you know, there's a reason why he's making, you know, the $315 million or whatever it is, because, you know, he essentially gives you a 75% chance to win every time he goes out to the mound for his 33 starts. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think that's, you know, the big question right now is the bats were kind of cold for the first seven games. You know, you saw on Saturday night 15 runs, and they've only scored 41 runs to begin with this season. So, I mean, you know, when just a little under half your runs are coming in one game, that tells you how quiet it is. And you know, we never expected this. I mean, we expected them to win, you know, a ton of games by a ton of runs down there. And, you know, I would guess that that's still the equation we're going to see. And maybe that starts. And Robbie Ray is just such a tremendously key arm to what these guys are trying to do this year and stay afloat till July. It's going to be real interesting to see, you know, what he looks like. And you get a good test against the Yankees. And, you know, in that kind of same equation, Steven Matz has looked so unbelievably good through his first two starts. So, you know, you got some good, you got some bad. And, you know, through the AL East, everyone's pretty much stacked up at 4-5 except the Red Sox. So, you know, it kind of has been what it has been through the first nine games here.
Well, and the rain delay allowed you to move past Tanner Roark. And now that Robbie Ray comes off the IL, what we talked about him, I think it was last week, Scotty, and we discussed it a lot after he got lit up. I don't think he should get another round if Ray is back and if he's healthy, and you don't have to go to Tanner Roark, but I guess they're going to shift him to the bullpen. I don't see a future there, quite frankly. At what point do you cut bait and decide we made the wrong call, it didn't work out, we're in it to win it, and there isn't a spot here on this roster for Tanner Roark?
Yeah, I think obviously the leash is so short there, and when you look at kind of what role he could play now, I mean, I'm kind of with you there. I don't expect him to make another traditional start. I think they'll kind of throw him into that bulk long man role. You'll see him in that mix with TJ Zoik, names like that, and they'll see if they can get anything out of him. And I kind of agree. He doesn't really fit in that role, and I'm not sure, you know, that I see a path to a tremendous amount of value on this roster. But, you know, right now they'll roll with, you know, their four veteran starters, and then we'll see what they do for that fifth starter spot. And, you know, this series, you're going to have Ray, you're going to have Ross Stripling, you're going to have Ryu, and then you've obviously got Mats in that mix. And, you know, I wonder if we'll see Anthony Kay coming out of this. I think that's probably the guy that they were lining up, you know, to be that next kind of emergency starter. And, you know, the door might have cracked open with him, with Tanner Roark pitching so bad in his one start.
With Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. Jays back in action tonight down in Dunedin, taking on the Yankees. Gerrit Cole up against Robbie Ray. How do you see the catcher position playing out here, Scotty, with Jansen off to the start that he's off to, Alejandro Kirk, you know, being a younger guy who can hit and someone that clearly this team feels pretty positive about, considering the fact that he broke camp on the roster. How do you see this playing out? At what point do you see maybe Kirk, if at all, overtaking Jansen as the everyday catcher?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, just because they bring such different skill sets. Obviously, Danny Jansen is a guy that they trust with the pitching staff. They trust, you know, in all sorts of game calling scenarios and you know, much more defensively than they trust Kirk at this point. And, you know, like I've said, I think Kirk is a little bit better defensively than people have given him credit for, just because they look at the body and say, you know, whoa, this guy must be terrible defensively. But I think he's kind of proven that, you know, he's made some steps since last year and can be, you know, at least a comfortable option back there. I don't know that you want to make him your primary catcher. You know, we've seen teams run on him, and that's going to be an issue. And, you know, right now, I mean, it's only been about 14 at-bats, but he hasn't been hitting either. So, you know, right. You know, when you look at potential spots for where this team could upgrade, you know, don't rule out catcher. And you know, I would think in a short-term scenario, if, you know, Danny Jansen isn't kind of giving them what they need with the bat in June or July, do they go out and look for a rental at that spot if that's kind of where they're sitting? You know, I think that's a realistic possibility depending on how these guys play, because I don't think Kirk is ready for an everyday role. He's more, you use him judiciously this year.
Right.
You try to get him in some pinch hitting spots, and then you kind of maybe take the training wheels off next year and give them that 80, 90, 100 starts if that's where things go.
What are you hearing on Springer and the likelihood of him returning in the next, you know, 7 to 10 days?
Well, it's obviously been a disappointing start for everybody to George Springer's career, and, you know, most of all him, because, you know, he was recovering from that oblique injury that, you know, kind of cropped up in surprising fashion for him, a grade 2 strain, and then, you know, was coming back in Texas and tweaked his quad running the bases. And now it sounds like, you know, that's his issue. The oblique has, you know, cleared up. And now we're just talking about this low-grade quad strain. So, you know, I think they're going to play it safe. So I think, you know, they've already ruled him out through this homestand, which is through the 15th, and when they go to KC. And then, you know, we'll see. You know, I just know that they're going to be very, very cautious with this one, because it's been essentially – you know, over a month now of kind of soft tissue injuries with this guy, and they want to get him back on the field.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully sooner rather than later. It's going to be a fun one tonight. Fun series down in Dunedin. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, pal. Take care.
There's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. We're going to have Al's brother join us in studio. But tomorrow's a big one here on 1050. It is TSN 1050's 10th anniversary, and we are celebrating with giveaways all day long. Test your trivia skills tomorrow morning on First Up, and you could win $1,000 and $1,050, $1,050 basically. And we're also giving away cash right here on Overdrive. Nominate that special 40-30 tight tuck grit grinder in your life. Post your photos on Twitter or on Instagram using the hashtag TSN1050 10 years. Hashtag TSN1050 10 years, and you could win $1,050. That's $1,050 courtesy of TSN1050, and details are up online, tsn1050.ca. So 10-year anniversary tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. I'll be back at my house. I'm looking forward to that. Because apparently when I come in here, Johnny sticks around for an hour. Noodles was here for 45 minutes. Feshchuk has no Wi-Fi wherever he lives. I started the day in a studio with Duffy, Retta, McKenzie, Miller, and I'm ending it with Al's brother, and I couldn't be happier. Al's brother in studio. What's up, pal?
It's been a long day for you. You're picking up on that. Well, I woke up at like 8 a.m. and put on the Trade Center, and here's Brian Hayes, and here we are still, you know, hours later, still looking at your face.
So. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and it's weird because I'm going 0 to 60 here on multiple fronts. I've been in here twice. I've been in the studio twice since last March. I went to Florida March 7th of 2020. So March 6th was my last day in studio. I was here for, I think, was it Free Agent Frenzy?
In October.
Free Agency in October, and then I was here today for Trade Center. I don't know when I'm going to be back. I guess maybe for Free Agent Frenzy, whenever that's going to be, end of July or August or whatever. But even just doing the job today where I was in a back, I was like the back panel, and I was on, I think, three or four times. So there's a lot of intervals, there's a lot of downtime, and then I get over here at four, and I have to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's been
I'm trying to keep it up.
Well, it's been a busy day, too. Like, you had the deadline. It was a great weekend in terms of sports for the Raptors, for the Jays. You know, the Leafs play tonight. Like, there's just a lot going on. So, and it was jam-packed into a two-and-a-half-hour show as opposed to three.
I know, because we got the Leaf game coming up, right? So the pregame at 6:30 right here on TSN Radio. You can watch it on TSN 4. Nick Foligno will not make his debut tonight. Obviously, he's going to be flying in, I believe, today, if not tomorrow, then has to quarantine for a week coming up from Columbus. But I can't wait to see him play. I like the deal in general. That's the guy I've been advocating for quite some time. Go out and get him. He fits what you're looking for. You're not looking for a superstar. You're looking for a guy who can fit in on the left side, probably play the middle of the ice at times, brings a different type of ingredient to the team. And I like the history. Just growing up in Toronto with Mike Foligno being a part of this team in the early 90s. And the fact that that Nick is coming up, I love it.
The fact that he's not a Carey Fraser fan also, he did mention that.
He's already playing to the crowd, which is a really smart play. Yeah. Really smart play. We had him on during the bubble, like just before the Leafs played Columbus back in August. Awesome interview. Awesome interview. And he's going to be, a big piece to this team. And I like the move. I like the moves for the most part from Dubas as well. Basically checking off every possible box coming into the deadline. But I don't think that applies to every single Canadian GM. And speaking of the devil, that's why you're in here, Al's brother. And Al's brother's power rankings are brought to you by Doer, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at doer.ca/TO and use code TSN1050 to save 15%. Doer.ca/TO. Use promo code TSN1050 to save 15%. All right, so these are essentially your power rankings based on your evaluation of how the Canadian GMs did leading up to the trade deadline.
Yes, that is exactly what this week's power rankings are all about. And let's get it started right away. And for me, the seventh team, the worst team at the deadline, has got to be the Winnipeg Jets, right? They added Jordy Benn and nothing else. For weeks, we discussed how they needed to go out and get not one, but two impactful defensemen, and they didn't get anybody. They got a guy who could be a bottom pairing guy, but probably more suited to be a seventh on a playoff team. So Winnipeg not going out and making a big push for me is why they're number seven.
And that's the history of Kevin Cheveldayoff. Like, he has always been a hesitant GM. He's built a very good team. It's not like he doesn't have the ability of building a team, finding talent, mining talent. Obviously, the Dubois for Laine deal looks like an incredible trade, considering the way Laine is playing in Columbus. But I think the logic in Toronto is you've got a good team and you've got an easier path than what you'd be used to. And I felt like Winnipeg was going to have a similar viewpoint. Everyone knew that a position they had to address. They didn't do that with Jordy Benn. That's not enough. It's a depth piece. I agree with you. You got Winnipeg at seven. Who do you have at six?
I got the Canucks coming in at number six. We talked about it a little bit earlier. They did deal Gaudette and Jordy Benn. They picked up this Matthew Highmore and Madison Bowie. You know, they didn't really bring much in for those two. They picked up a six-rounder as well in the Benn deal. But here's the thing. We weren't really sure what was going to happen with Vancouver. Hands kind of tied with the whole COVID situation. But for me, I think just the fact that they dealt Gaudette and weren't able to get anything. I understand that maybe there was some friction there within the locker room, but like, he's a solid third liner, I think. It's still relatively young, 24, 25 years old. The fact that you were only able to get Matthew Highmore, and no disrespect to him, obviously, but you would expect a larger return. It just seems like they gave him away for nothing.
Yeah, this one feels like it comes with an asterisk beside it. Like the Vancouver play in general. Like I didn't agree with them re-signing Tanner Pearson. I thought that was a guy they should have put on the block, and they didn't. They decided to bring him back. But they have just been crippled by COVID. And I think Jim Benning has been pretty honest that it was going to affect what he was capable of doing, what he could do. The Gaudette one, there's a story behind that. Like, there's some reporting as to why he's the one that went, what you got back in return, why maybe he had to go between now and the deadline. All right, you got Vancouver at 6. Who do you have at number 5 in Al's Brothers Power Rankings, evaluating the trade deadline leading up to 3 p.m. Eastern time?
We've got the Edmonton Oilers coming in at number 5. They added Dmitry Kulikov, but did not get themselves another scorer. And I think that's what they needed. They needed some help with McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, because if they get shut down in the playoffs, there's just no depth there. And I felt that there were some guys they potentially could have went out and got, maybe a Mike Hoffman. I thought they were going to be in on Taylor Hall. And obviously, they didn't make any type of move to address that need that they had. So for me, the Edmonton Oilers come in at number 5.
Yeah, again, they were so capped. Strapped. I'm not surprised they didn't do more.
Yeah.
Like Kulikov alone, I don't know if that moves the needle. I don't think that it does.
Me either.
I'm with you in terms of help around McDavid and Draisaitl, but I think it comes back to Ken Holland, who's into his second full year on the job, realizing they're cap strapped. They need some money to kind of go out before they reload in the offseason. And I don't know if they feel that great about their team. You know, I think they feel great about McDavid and Draisaitl. You got Mike Smith, who are the wheels going to fall off on him at some point? Because I give him full credit. He's been outstanding for them this year. Darnell Nurse has taken strides. Tyson Berry's had a bounce-back year. But for me, I think Toronto and Winnipeg are clearly ahead of them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Holland is basically telling us that. Like, he's willing to add a little bit, but he's not going to go crazy. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think you're right. And that kind of leads me to who I've had at number 3. Well, I have Ottawa at number 4.
Ottawa
coming at number
four.
4 at 4. You know, they dealt that 3-pack of veteran D-men that I talked about last week.
Which they had to do.
100%.
Yeah, had to do it.
Just get assets for guys who are expiring. Maybe they bring back a guy like Goodbranson, who's a good locker room dude in the summer. But deal away those guys and get your assets. But number 3, and the reason I want to go right to them is because you brought it up, the fact that this is Toronto and Winnipeg's season to win, and Montreal comes in at number 3 for me. And I think there was rumblings that maybe they could do something after Brendan Gallagher went on LTIR and opened up some cap space and potentially a spot for them, but they didn't make a big move. They obviously got Merrill and Gustafson, but they didn't pick up.
They did their heavy lifting, I think, in the offseason. I think picking up Stahl, that was about it. Corey Perry's played well for them lately. I think he's actually going to play. Okay, so you got the Habs at 3. Final 2, who do you have at number 2?
We got the Calgary Flames coming at number 2. That they got a real solid return out of Sam Bennett, a second-round pick and a decent prospect. And they're getting a pick also for David Rittich. So
okay, and you got the Leafs at number 1. I mean, I think that goes without – that's not biased based on Toronto or the show. They did a lot of heavy lifting, and they brought in some pretty good pieces.
Yeah, they checked all the boxes. They brought in Nick Foligno, a guy who can play up and down your lineup, big-time piece. They addressed the backup goaltending position. They got a guy like Ben Hutton to address the depth on the back end. And then even they were able to swing a deal to get Nash.
I'm not sleeping on Riley Nash.
Me either.
I'm not. I think he'll play. I think come playoff time, he'll play. I think he's your fourth-line center. I think he brings a lot defensively. Offensively, they got to figure it out. It's defensively in the playoffs against bigger, tougher teams. I think he brings a lot of that. So to recap, Winnipeg at 7, Vancouver at 6, Edmonton at 5. You've got, who do you have at 4? You got Ottawa at 4, the Habs at 3, the Flames at 2, and the Maple Leafs at 1. Al's brother, phenomenal rankings.
Thank you,
as
sir.
As always, good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, no, it was good to see you.
We're getting close to that 200, the 100 as well. You guys are going to run that. It's just a matter of time before it happens, Al's brother. The people want it. He is Al's brother. I'm Brian Hayes. We are out of here. The Leaf game is up next. We are back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.